your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are. Grass make the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is George Butler. We're going to start off this first hour with a really good commentary by David Icke. And he goes back to 9/11 and what that was about, and sort of comes forward, brings us some historical facts in here and brings us forward to this COVID-19 crisis. So listen to this carefully, and he had done some marvelous work about the New World Order and the deep state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here we go to start the program with David Icke.
Hello, and welcome to this David Icke .connect video cast. Well, we're closing in just a few days from now on the 20th anniversary of the horror that was the attacks on September the 11th, 2001, known forever as 9/11. And it's kind of sobering to think that so much time has passed when the memory, certainly for me, is still so vivid of watching that horror unfold. And if you're 20 years of age or even a bit older, you will either not have been alive when those attacks happened, or you'll have no direct memory from the moment of what happened. And yet, as people's memories fade and they focus today on what is happening in the fascistic tyranny of the COVID era, it's worth reminding ourselves that what happened on 9/11 is fundamentally connected to what is happening today. The conspiracy to enslave humanity in its totality goes back a long, long way, back into the mists of the ancient world. But 9/11 was a point where that conspiracy kicked into a new era, which began the process of heading towards its endgame. And what is happening today in terms of the COVID fascism is merely a more extreme extension in terms of effect on the world globally of what happened on 9/11. And I authored the first full-length book on the background to September the 11th, because as I watched it unfold, it was obvious from my research going way back before that this is what I call a problem reaction solution event. You want to transform human society in a way that you'd never get away with without the perceived problem that your transformation of society is claimed to respond to. So instead of just coming out with it and saying, yeah, we're going to do this, and people going, what do you mean you're going to do this? What's the justification of that? You create the justification. So you have an attack, in this case on New York and Washington. And it could also be, this is the way problem reaction solution works, it could be a banking crash, it could be a government crash, it could be a war, anything that is a problem or the illusion of a problem that you can offer the solutions to which advance your agenda in the way you want. So it's very clear from all the evidence and their own documents that they planned to invade a series of countries in the Middle East, like Afghanistan and Libya, Syria, and so on. And that they needed an excuse for it. And this was centrally part, but only part, of why 9/11 was orchestrated. Not by 19 Arab hijackers who couldn't fly one-engine planes, but somehow manifested the ability to fly wide-body jets. No, not by them, but by the very authorities in places like America and Israel, I'm sure Britain was involved in there as well, that created a massive problem as it was perceived by the public through the unquestioning media of a terrorist attack on American soil. It was then blamed on a guy called Osama bin Laden. Not a nice man, I think that's stating the obvious, but he had nothing to do with 9/11. And he happened to be, in Afghanistan, they claimed. And so they justified the invasion of Afghanistan. And what followed on was the continuation of that in Iraq, where they lied about weapons of mass destruction to invade that country, in Libya to get rid of Gaddafi, and in Syria, which they have not yet managed to complete because of the resistance and the involvement of Putin's Russia. But look at that from the problem reaction solution point of view. This is how it works. You create a problem, those attacks on America. You then tell the unquestioning public, although lots of people started to question, but lots didn't, through an unquestioning compliant media, you tell the public the version of that problem that you want them to believe. So what happened was bin Laden orchestrated Al-Qaeda and these Arab terrorists. They boarded the planes and they crashed them, and we've got to do something about it. Of course, we had a moron in the White House called Boy George Bush, who was controlled by a psychopath called Dick Cheney, the vice president, who was all part of this orchestration. And so they say the problem is we have to get bin Laden. And so they justify the invasion of Afghanistan, and we've seen in recent times how that turned out. And on they went to these other countries. And also what 9/11 did was justify the deletion of basic freedoms in the name of terrorism. But as I said at the time, those laws, that legislation, was worded in such a non-specific way that it could be applied to the population in general. And that's exactly what has happened since. And so now we're having people pushing back against the COVID tyranny and the COVID fake vaccine tyranny being dubbed terrorists and thus coming under the terrorist legislation that's been added to and added to since the trigger of 9/11.
Yes, 9/11 created a mechanism to propel us, the United States and the world in general, to a world totalitarian dictatorship. And this is what's so dangerous about this COVID-19 today, is that is being extended into some kind of a health dictatorship or tyranny, health tyranny. And coming up next is Dr. Lin Wing Yang. And she's a renowned virologist out of Hong Kong. And she has intimate inside information about the Wuhan lab in China and how they developed what she claims is a bioweapons on this COVID-19. But here we go with her being interviewed by Alex Jones. Here we go next.
Oh, hi, Alex. This is a good question. Unrestricted means, as what I said, no constraints, no consideration of humanity. So China's unrestricted strategies not only applied on bioweapons. COVID-19 is their unrestricted bioweapon. But as I defend in my Yan report, there are also unrestricted scientific misinformation. And also there are unrestricted informative wars, as we say we were censored, and also misinformation spreading anywhere, everywhere. They are not happy with me, and the China government doesn't happy with me. That's why they are hunting me, and they are using propaganda to smear me, just to describe me as some hamster keeper or some liar, which is very hilarious. But I have evidence. I have shown the scientific and intelligence evidence here. Since I start to tell people that there would be pandemic if you don't control it in time on 19th January last year. At that time, I'm the only person tell it to the world. And China know I'm the insider because I tell the world human-to-human transmission exists. And also this is not from the seafood market. There is no animal intermediate host. I told people that WHO is covering up with China. There will be strong variant in the future if not control it. And also that day, 19th January last year, I told people that this is a product from Chinese military lab by gain of function engineering. It's not from some bad cave in somewhere in China. It is patched by the PLA, People's Liberation Army, and then modified, did a lot of gain of function modification, which still need our to study because we don't know how many functions hidden in this virus. Tell your policymakers that is unrestricted bioweapon. They need to update the law terms, and also they need to understand that misinformation is another arm for this novel, non-traditional bioweapon. Together, this is CCP's unrestricted strategies to change America, to control America, and also control the world. You don't have much time. You have to understand how evil CCP is and not listen to them, not trust them, and you have to defend, to protect America and your next generations.
Monday broadcast. And we are joined by a leading Chinese virologist who has been totally and completely vindicated. She's come out in the latest article in the New York Post says Fauci emails verify her Wuhan lab leak claim. Li Mingyan is the doctor, and she's written a detailed report that has been proven to be a blueprint of what really happened. She's on Twitter at Dr. Li Mingyan 1. People should be sure and follow her there at Dr. Li, L-I, Ming, Yan, 1. And we can put that up on screen there. That is for you. She also has linked up there her report. SARS-CoV-2 is an unrestricted bioweapon, a truth revealed through uncovering a large-scale organized scientific fraud. And it would take me an hour to go over her whole bio, but let me just read part of it. Dr. Li Mingyan is a medical doctor, PhD virologist, independent coronavirus expert. She was educated at two top medical schools in China, Southern Medical University and Central South University. She was also a postdoctoral fellow in the School of Public Health, the University of Hong Kong. Because of her extensive professional network and scientific evidence, Dr. Yan has the distinction of being the only Chinese insider in the West with firsthand knowledge about the true nature of the virus, as well as the CCP's deceptive methods used to disguise their international bioweapons research. Since escaping from Hong Kong on April 28, 2021, she has been interviewed many, many times, four times by the FBI, including the FBI virologist, and each time she has been deemed credible. Dr. Yan has spent 5 years researching influenza vaccines when in January 2020 she was asked to investigate the Wuhan pneumonia that was sweeping the city. And then it goes on from there. She can tell you the rest of the story about the CCP and what she witnessed and what unfolded. So, Dr. Yan, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Every time I see you on Fox or Newsmax, you get about 5 minutes. You've got the rest of the hour. You're gracious to be here. We got like 8 minutes to break. Start at the beginning or give us a summation. Whatever you'd like to tell us, we want to get it on record. We really appreciate you coming on because we know that you've been right from the very, very beginning, and we appreciate your courage.
Thank you, Alex. Then how about we start to talk about the intellectual report from Biden's administration, which was released last Friday on origin of COVID-19. How about we start to talk from that?
Absolutely, please.
Okay, so according to that report, Biden administration said they judged that this COVID-19 virus was not designed as a bioweapon. And also, the intelligence agencies all think there is no confidence that it is not bioengineered lab products. So actually, I think there are many media, I mean, almost all the media try to explain this report, but they actually made some misunderstanding because although they claim that this is not designed as a bioweapon, it is not wrong because the recent evidence verified my report and my evidence that the COVID-19 virus is not designed as traditional bioweapon. It is designed as unrestricted bioweapon. This term is beyond bioweapon. And this is because unlimited means that CCP won't do anything without limitations, without constraints, and without considering of humanity to make the novel non-traditional bioweapon and mix it with bioterrorism to conquer their goal of making China great and also overcome the world. Everything is under the instruction of Marxism. So this is what we should let more people know because the long term of bioweapon has its limitation and the China government learned how to take advantage of the weakness from the mouse and from the surveillance, and then to get a void of the surveillance and the bio-defense system all over the world to conduct this bio-attack.
Wow, that is powerful information. So obviously they work with collaborators in the West. I think that's very clear. You go off what you know about China, what you know about the weapon, but I have clips we'll play later of Dr. Peter Daszak that ran the program with Fauci and with the Chinese government. And he was bragging in December of 2019 that they were merging five viruses. They were going to make a vaccine for it. And he describes COVID-19. So they weren't even hiding a lot of this, it looks like.
Yes. From last February, since Peter Daszak started to publish his Lancet statement, claims that COVID-19 is from nature and also that China has done great job in anti-COVID-19, he already exposed. At that time, I also had the first-hand information that he tried to organize the scientists all over the world to help China. Peter Daszak is not in nonsense. Dr. Fauci is not in nonsense. Ralph Baric, Christine Anderson, all these people are not in nonsense, but sadly, they are used by Chinese government as a tool. So Chinese Communist Party spent decades, which is proved by my recent document, from 1990s, they start to study the novel things in bioweapon and the biowar program. And these people from America, they are used by China to get money and technology and also support from international scientific world to spread misinformation. They are not allowed to touch the core intelligence in China, because Chinese Communist Party don't trust these foreigners, but they are used and they enjoy it and they see the benefits. So they are willing to do that with China to undermine America, to undermine all the world.
And they're certainly working with the UN and Tedros and working with leftists here who want to keep us locked down, who want to bring in a communist revolution, who want to create a universal income. I mean, the Democrats now admit most of the health department leaders are avowed communists, not just Tedros, but others that run London and run all these other big cities. They say, we're communists. We don't want the lockdown to ever end in the West. So clearly they're using it as a smokescreen for martial law.
Yes, you are right, because from the recent evidence I want to explain to your audience today, they clearly told that the mandate is very useful, because compared to America, China has the power to mandate everything, and they predict that once such novel biowarfare or bioterrorism happens, people in America cannot get enough help, in time, because this is a democratic country, and in China, they can control it because that is centralized. And also, to use mandate as a tool to divide American, divide Republican, Democratic people, divide races, divide your policy, is what China spent decades to work on.
Incredible. Dr. Li Mingyan, stay right there. Is the best place for people to find you on Twitter at Dr. Li Mingyan 1?
Yes, and there are hundreds of fake accounts established by CCP. So please notice that it's over 100K account is the only right one.
All right. Wow. I've got a lot I want to cover, but when we come back, what do you want to get into next?
We want to tell people that about how China's plan to undermine America and also control the organizations like WHO, UN, for years, and then makes the whole misinformation helping COVID-19 pandemic.
All right. You're an amazing lady. Totally vindicated. The Pentagon and others came out and said, yes, her report was correct. It came out of the Wuhan lab with high probability. We'll be right back. Stay with us on the other side. Dr. Li Mingyan is our guest. She is completely vindicated. She was one of the first voices to come out early last year and say it's a bioweapon out of Wuhan. The Chi-Coms have co-opted people inside the U.S. government, inside the U.N., and now she's been vindicated. The U.S. intelligence agencies have come out. And even John Hopkins, that came up with the SPARS event 4 years ago, wargaming what's currently happening now, heavily involved in all this as well. This is a global government project. China is at the heart of it, obviously. They've come out and attacked her and said, oh, it didn't come out of a lab. We've had Peter Daszak, who helped secretly write the Lancet report saying it didn't come out of a lab, but told people in emails, don't tell people I'm involved writing this. He's finally been fired off of the latest whitewash. So they have worked around the clock to try to stop Dr. Yan, but she is with us now going over why this happened, where this is going. And I also want to ask you, because you've been on top of this like nobody else, how do you counter something like this? Because when you say unrestricted warfare, unrestricted bioweapon, explain what that means. It doesn't mean you just spray it on your enemy. You just release it out of the open because you're premeditated. You know what your response is going to be, and you believe it'll divide and conquer and destroy open free societies, which then our media even advertised and said, oh, America and Europe can't be free anymore. We've got to be like China. We've got to have a social credit score. We've got to listen to them. So we even saw the PR prepared. And as Americans and others got censored, and as you got censored, I saw communist Chinese propaganda force-fed by big tech.
Oh, hi, Alex. This is a good question. Unrestricted means, as what I said, no constraints, no consideration of humanity. So China's unrestricted strategies not only applied on bioweapons. COVID-19 is their unrestricted bioweapon. But as I defend in my Yan reports, there are also unrestricted scientific misinformation. And also there are unrestricted informative wars, as we say we were censored, and also misinformation spreading anywhere, everywhere. Let me tell you, you just talk about John Hopkins and also Dr. Fauci. So my evidence actually based on my first-hand intelligence from China military and civil network involve hospital, CDC, and also research labs. Also involve my knowledge about the WHO experts who work with me in the WHO reference lab in Hong Kong for 5 years. And also there are other evidence like the People's Liberation Army's document, scientific evidence they published from military and also civilian scientist network working with China, all together combined with my expertise, like NIAID conducted by Fauci and also John Hopkins, as you mentioned. Why do they attack me and why do they help China to promote the nature origin theory of COVID-19? It's also verified in the new evidence I want to tell you. In the new evidence, it is a document from People's Liberation Army from end of 2014. That one is written by the leading bioexpert in the military of medical science academy in China. That team worked with General Wei Chen, who take in charge of Wuhan lab last February. I think definitely people know them. So this team actually focused on establishing the theory of the unrestricted bioweapon strategies for CCP, especially for Chairman Xi. And in that book, they claim that to divide America is very important because in their strategy, America is the primary enemy for them, because America doesn't allow the dictatorship or communism, and there is freedom in America. So they point out that they need to understand the policies, politicals, and think tanks from America. And for example, they take the example that NIH, especially NIAID, and John Hopkins, they are the organizations in U.S. to help surveillance the bioweapon-related risk. That's why China knows if they can manipulate the top experts in these organizations, then they can manipulate the information and American policymakers. And now you see what happened now.
Well, and at least the FBI did arrest the head of Harvard Science, who was basically on the payroll of the Chinese, giving him a lot of this technology. So clearly you've got Bill Gates that helped open up China. You've got Fauci that's a communist Chinese supporter. They're getting all this power. They're getting all this control. And Fauci bragged in 2017, Trump will be challenged by a novel virus. And then, of course, we'll play it next segment, Daszak bragging about how they were preparing it and getting it ready, I think, to cover his butt later when he knew it would come out. They aren't very happy with you, though, are they? I don't think they expected all this to come out.
They are not happy with me, and the China government doesn't happy with me. That's why they are hunting me, and they are using propaganda to smear me, just to describe me as some hamster keeper or some liar, which is very hilarious. But I have evidence. I have shown the scientific and intelligence evidence here. Since I start to tell people that there would be pandemic if you don't control it in time on 19th January last year. At that time, I'm the only person tell it to the world, and China know I'm the insider because I tell the world human to human transmission exists, and also this is not from the seafood market. There is no animal intermediate host. I told people that WHO is covering up with China. There will be strong variant in the future if not control it. And also that day, 19th January last year, I told people that this is a product from Chinese military lab by gain of function engineering. It's not from some bad cave in somewhere in China. It is patched by the PLA, People's Liberation Army, and then modified. Did a lot of gain-of-function modification, which still need our to study because we don't know how many functions hidden in this virus. So So these are all verified. That's why they don't want me to talk about it. And that's why they want to censor all the people start talking about that.
Some of the technical stuff is well spoken about when Dan, Dr. Dan Stock addressed the Vernon School Board meeting in Indiana. And I'm going to have two clips in here. The first clip is him actually addressing the Mount Vernon Indiana School Board meeting in Indiana. And then the second clip is the beginning of his interview that he had with Alex Jones just this week. So, but he, in the introduction of the interview with Alex, he really sets out some of the really problems of these vaccines. He doesn't recommend that anyone take any of the vaccines. So here we go, the first clip that he's speaking to the Mount Vernon School Board in Indiana. Here we go now.
Dr. Dan Stock, 5777 West 7 North McCordsville, Indiana. To address your comment about, it's hard to believe we're 18 months into this and still having a problem, and I would suggest the reason we still have a problem is because we're doing things that are not useful, and we're getting our sources of information from the Indiana State Board of Health and the CDC, who actually don't bother to read science before they do this. I'm actually a functional family medicine physician. That means I am specially trained in immunology and inflammation regulation. And everything being recommended by the CDC and the State Board of Health is actually contrary to all the rules of science. So things you should know about coronavirus and all other respiratory viruses, they are spread by aerosol particles, which are small enough to go through every mask. By the way, the literature that supports all of that is in a flash drive that we presented to you. It's been given to the Secretary. As a matter of fact, it quotes at least three studies sponsored by the NIH to that exact fact, even though the CDC and the NIH have chosen to ignore the very science that they paid to have done. That is why you keep struggling with this, is because you cannot make these viruses go away. The natural history of all respiratory viruses is that they circulate all year long, waiting for the immune system to get sick through the winter or become deranged, as has happened recently with these vaccines, and then they cause symptomatic disease. Because they cannot be filtered out, and they have animal reservoirs, and this is a very important point, no one can make this virus go away. The CDC has managed to convince everybody that we can handle this like we did smallpox, where we could make a virus go away. Smallpox had no animal reservoirs. The only thing it learned to infect was humans. That's why we were able to make that virus go away. That will not happen with this any more than it will with influenza, the common cold, respiratory syncytial virus, adenoviral respiratory syndromes, or anything else that has animal reservoirs. So the reason you can't do this is because you're trying to do something which has already been tried and can't be done. Equally important is that vaccination changes none of this, especially with this vaccine. And I would hope this board would start asking itself, before it considers taking the advice of the CDC, the NIH, and the State Board of Health, why we are doing things about this that we didn't do for the common cold, influenza, or respiratory syncytial virus. And then ask yourself, why is a vaccine that is supposedly so effective having a breakout in the middle of the summer when respiratory viral syndromes don't do that? And to help you understand that, you need to know the condition that is called antibody-mediated viral enhancement. That is a condition done when vaccines work wrong, as they did in every coronavirus study done in animals on coronaviruses after the SARS outbreak, and done in respiratory syncytial virus, where a vaccine used in a vulnerable individual done the wrong way, which cannot be done right for a respiratory virus, which has a very low pathogenicity rate, causes the immune system to actually fight the virus wrong and let the virus become worse than it would with native infection. And that is why you are seeing an outbreak right now. In fact, in that flash drive you're going to have coming to you and in the emails with six extra, there will be a study showing that 75% of people who had COVID-19 positive symptom cases in Barnstable, Massachusetts outbreak were fully vaccinated. Therefore, there is no reason for treating any person vaccinated any differently than any person unvaccinated. You should also know that no vaccine, even the ones I support and would give to myself and my children, ever stops infection. In 2014, there was outbreak of mumps in the National Hockey League. The only people who came down with symptoms were the people who were unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status. Boy, that sounds like a great argument for vaccines. But a question that you should ask yourself, knowing that half of the people who came down with symptomatic disease had no contact with an unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status individual, where did they get the disease? And the answer was from the vaccinated individuals. No vaccine prevents you from getting infection. You get infected, you shed pathogen. This is especially true of viral respiratory pathogens. You just don't get symptomatic from it. So you cannot stop spread. You cannot make these numbers that you've planned on get better by doing any of the things you're doing, because that is the nature of viral respiratory pathogens. And you can't prevent it with a vaccine because they don't do the very thing you're wanting them to do. And you will be chasing this the remainder of your life until you recognize that the Center for Disease Control and the Indiana State Board of Health are giving you very bad scientific guidance. And instead, read the articles that are going to come in the email and are on this flash drive, and listen to the people in this audience here tonight who actually have recognized the advice they are getting from the CDC and the NIH is counterfactual. And that's why you're still fighting this with this vaccine that supposedly was going to make all of this go away, but has suddenly managed to make an outbreak of COVID-19 develop in the middle of the summer when vitamin D levels are at their highest. By the way, the other thing that would be necessary, any vaccine restriction to be considered, is if there were no other treatment available. And I can tell you, having treated over 15 COVID-19 patients, that between active loading with vitamin D, ivermectin, and zinc, that there is not a single person who has come anywhere near the hospital. And we already have studies that show that if you achieve a 25 hydroxy vitamin D level greater than 55, your risk of COVID-19 death will drop down to one quarter of the population average for the United States. And there are active treatment trials included on that flash drive that show the same is true. So if you were going to discriminate based upon vaccine, you should also discriminate based upon 25 hydroxy vitamin D level, zinc taste test response, and probably previous infection, since there are also studies on that flash drive that show that people who have recovered from COVID-19 infection actually get no benefit from vaccination at all, no reduction in symptoms, no reduction in hospitalization, and suffer 2 to 4 times the rate of side effects if they are subsequently vaccinated. Therefore, the policies that you are basing on are totally counterfactual. I don't blame this board for that, because I know you aren't scientists and you've thought it was reasonable to listen to the CDC, NIH, and the Indiana State Board of Health. But I would encourage that instead you listen to the people out here in this audience and read what's on that data drive. And if anybody here in this board has any questions about anything on that, I will happily come back and sit with you individually if you would like to explain the science behind this. And if you're worried about being sued by somebody because you don't follow the guidance of the CDC and the NIH, I will tell you, have a free pro bono expert testimony at your disposal. I will testify in defense of this board, turning down all these recommendations for free at any time in any court. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Dan, did you hear that applause? The public is waking up that the vaccines can be very dangerous. And there have been statements made by some of these public officials that the vaccine creates a greater response, immunity, than a natural immunity, and that's totally wrong and a lie. But next we have him on his introductory being interviewed by Alex Jones, and the introduction clearly states the problems of the antibody reaction enhancement problem, and he really states it very clearly. So listen to this carefully. Here we go now. And again, this is the beginning, the introduction of his interview with Alex. And I'll put up clips where you can find the full interview and listen to the whole thing. So here we go next with Dr. Dan Stock. And his introduction right before he's being interviewed by Alex Jones. Here we go, Dan.
If, in fact, what's developing is antibody-dependent enhancement, and I would tell everybody right now, look, we don't have a 95% certain study, and we're not going to because nobody's going to pay for one. Nobody's going to do it. I don't know that you could recruit the people to join it right now. I wouldn't, because the data that's on the table for ADE looks so bad. If ADE is what's developing, then the worst thing you can do is give somebody a booster. Because of the way it deranges the immune system, what you would expect is maybe they'll get a couple of weeks or a month of extra protection as long as they're exposed, and then you would expect them to slide further and further into the making of these harmful antibodies we call enhancing antibodies that further make the infection get worse. And in fact, why we would even take an experimental vaccine, which has been so horribly researched, all of the safety steps skipped, and trying to convince the public that just because we did a very large trial badly, that somehow or other that means we've proven safely. Why we would do this to a group of children who have a survival rate that is so high, I cannot fathom. Why we would expose them to the risk of myocarditis and pericarditis and thrombocytopenic thrombosis, I cannot fathom. And I am glad to see the UK is finally starting to show some sense about this and recognize that if we had used augmented natural immunity, meaning we go with things like vitamin D, zinc, ivermectin, quercetin, hydroxychloroquine, if we had done these things from the get-go, we would have probably had a population that handled this virus very well, and I might add, would have had protection from other diseases as well. These are the same things that make influenza and the common cold problematic. Vitamin D has been shown to reduce the risk of cancer by at least 60%, probably more like 80% in the best done trial. And I tell people that we've doubled down and spent enormous amounts of money on a vaccine and suppressed the very fundamentals of augmented natural immunity. I can't explain this on the basis of a compassionate use of science to help humanity. But when I start to see suppression of data, which is the mark of scoundrels and cowards, when I see censorship, when I see a government that is actually taking away from its population the ability to get its hands on ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, when I see them paying hospitals in such a way that makes a hospital fight back when a family member wants to give a patient these agents, when I see the FDA actually contacting compounding pharmacists and threatening them with $50,000 fines and loss of their license if they compound up 25 hydroxy vitamin D, I can only assume that there is either power or money or both at the bottom of this. And I think that's human nature to assume that, because it can't be explained as a compassionate use of science to help humanity. And you're right. There is no way that this is just simple naivete. Naivete learns. It recognizes that what it's doing isn't working. It recognizes the recommendations about trying to contain a respiratory virus that has a long latency period in animal reservoirs. It's going to be futile from the get-go. I can only assume that someone has an agenda which is not in the best interest of the human population. My hope is that we will no longer force our military to force this choice. There's no reason we should be putting nurses and doctors through this. We've already taken over the healthcare system. We have guns to every doctor's head. If he doesn't do what he wants, what the insurance companies and the governments and the FDA and the NIH and the CDC tell them to do, they bankrupt them and blacklist them. And I can go into another show about how they do this because I was elected to the physician board of a local health network, and I've seen all the interior workings of how this goes. I know how insurance companies keep doctors from studying. I know how they keep them from thinking deeply. But this light at the end of the tunnel is it's the best news I have seen in a year, that somebody's finally recognizing this vaccine has limitations, and hopefully we'll eventually get to the point we recognize this vaccine is not as good as the alternatives we have at hand. And then people can stand up and go to their FDA and say, I'm not going to let you take ivermectin away from me. Frankly, the fact that they're doing this, I should hope that somebody in my Congress would actually strip the FDA of the power to control the medicine supply again. The fact that they're willing to actually take away ivermectin for people reminds me of just letting the Tuskegee syphilis men die from syphilis. I can't think of anything better as a corollary or anything more reprehensible, incompassionate, and thoughtless in the world.
And it's Dr. Dan Stock, who I think is probably the most articulate person of thousands of doctors we played clips of. Literally, it's thousands. We probably played 5-10 doctors a day the last 20 months or so, exposing this whole globalist takeover. PureHealthMed.com.
I'll post the address where you can hear the whole interview that Alex had with Dr. Dan Stock. What we have coming up next is something that Dr. Jane Ruby did on the Stu Peters Show, which is the fourth hour every Friday at Infowars.com. And Stu has been having her on this program. And I just want to preface this with the knowledge and information that we've had over 3,800 unruly passengers that the FAA had been taking note of and have instances recording. And now Dr. Jane Ruby is setting out some problems that we have with some pilots. And many of these airlines have had all their pilots vaxxed. And we're seeing with vaxxed people cognitive problems. And this could be happening or just beginning in the airline industry. But here we go with Dr. Jane Ruby on Stu Peters' show.
Dr. Jane Ruby is here. She's here because that talk, that rhetoric, those pilots, how upset we were when we were talking about it originally, and then we were fact-checked and told we're crazy, lunatic, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists, far-right, lunatic radicals, Trump-supporting, QAnon, crazy conspiracy theorists. But now, not that we're proud of it, not that we're happy about it, but we are vindicated as you are now reporting more tragedy in the air.
Here we go, Stu. You know, pilots are starting to struggle in the air. I wanted to report that on August 27th, Captain Naushad Qayyam, a captain with Bangladesh Airlines, became ill and incapacitated while he was steering a Dhaka-bound flight from Oman. The plane had to make an emergency landing in a city called Nagpur. No one will confirm his injection status, but this fully certified 45-year-old commercial pilot was reported to be in perfect health prior to this flight. Now, flight BG-22 was carrying 122 passengers, 5 crew, when Captain Qayyam collapsed in the cockpit. His co-pilot luckily landed the aircraft at the city's Ambedkar International Airport. Now, passengers were rebooked later in the day to fly back to Dhaka, but Captain Qayyam was rushed to the Kingsway Hospital, where he was reportedly in a coma, and he died at the hospital this past Monday, August 30th. Now, a hospital source was quoted as saying he had lapsed into a coma following a stroke. Stu, healthy 45-year-old men who are checked every 6 months by the airline physicians don't just collapse of a stroke out of nowhere. And like you said, we have BA pilots, 4 of them dead, 3 at Delta, Air India, and a Canadian pilot who was saved on the runway when he passed out. And then we have a post in social media from a young woman who says, my dad is a captain with Air Canada, and he was about a week after his second Pfizer jab. He literally in the cockpit looked down and saw blood vessels just bursting in his arm. I mean, how much more do we need? How much more do we need?
This is what they want. This is exactly what they want. That's why I'm so upset, and I apologize. I'm usually much more organized when you have a breaking segment like this and you have news like this. It just pisses me off that this is happening. And every single expert that I have talked to on my program, I work very hard every day to find the most qualified people who are brave enough to come forward and talk about what we're really looking at. Dr. Paulie Alexander, I just talked to him. I want to ask you a question about that. You, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Kerry Madej, the list goes on and on and on. Peter McCullough, Zev Zelenko. I know that I'm missing several. Dr. Brian Artis. There are, but you notice that none of them are from these corporate healthcare big systems, because they're all owned by the globalists. And they are getting their narrative from the American Medical Association, this leftist organization that walks and arms them with propaganda handbooks that specifically teaches them how to post, what to say, how to dodge and box out an interviewer. I mean, our entire healthcare system has been hijacked right before our face. And now talking about being concerned about planes falling from the sky makes me a conspiracy theorist. Who are these people? Well, we know who they are, but how can they actually be taken seriously as little 20-year-old somethings in their mom's basement playing video games, spilling Cheetos on themselves, writing for places like the Daily Mail, writing for places like the USA Today, this Daniel Funky a-hole that tried to fact-check me on these pilots to begin with? It's absolutely insane, and thank you for bringing that report. So I just had Paul E. Alexander on, and we were talking about herd immunity. We were talking about the vaccines. I asked him about Forbes, another woke institution of communist sellouts, writing about him and trying to slander him about herd immunity. My kids go to school every fall. They're set to go again here shortly. I get sick every fall because they bring home this nasty crud, this nonsense. That's how it works. We don't vaccinate everybody for every little virus or bacterial infection that they can come into contact with. Kids are germ factories, and doesn't that bolster their immune system? Isn't that what we are supposed to do? You heard the interview with Paulie Alexander. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm so glad that we have yet another expert, and someone who's particularly close to President Trump. Look, he's a fast learner. He's got a lot of saboteurs around him. I knew that when I was in D.C. for 10 years. I saw during his presidency up close in front some of the saboteurs. But without getting into that, I think President Trump knows better than we do that he had some snakes around him, and I think he's probably fast seeing that he was taken down the wrong road. It's not just the children. It is more than that. And I think Dr. Alexander confirmed that. And your questions, your line of questions, Stu, I don't hear anybody else asking those kinds of questions. I was really grateful for it. Because if the president is watching, he's got a much broader picture by now. This is really unbelievable. Every time I watch the president in these press conferences with that filthy snake Fauci and that other snake behind him with the scarf, I call her Dr. Scarf, Deborah Birx. I knew that they were sabotaging it because nothing made sense medically. Nothing made sense from a scientific standpoint. And so I, you know, now we are where we are. It's not just about the children. No human, no living thing should be injected with this. And now right now we have our military. I just participated in an affidavit to try to communicate that this recent approval is really illegal. It should be null and void. It's based on no data. If you compare the package insert to the package insert of any other drug legitimately that followed through all the steps of research in an FDA regulatory process, you will see that there's something very wrong with the approval of this Comirnaty or this, you know, Pfizer jab. It just doesn't make any sense. Everything is missing.
It's pretty sickening what's going on out here right now. And then we've got this debacle coming out of Kabul. But now just the news, John Solomon, there's just a short clip I picked up about Americans going up within before even the last 2 days and couldn't get through and were not let in. And the State Department was not allowing them in. And those were the orders given to the frontline soldiers there not to let them in. And they had passports and all this. Some kind of technicality. This is absurd and a travesty of justice. But anyway, Solomon just had a quick clip on this, and then I'm going to follow that up by a clip on this phone call that President Biden had with Ghani right before the takeover of Kabul and Afghanistan. Here we go next with a short clip from John Solomon, a stand-up person.
Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. We're today, Wednesday. Yes, we broke a big story. It was in conjunction with the interview we did yesterday on the podcast, but we now have text messages between private American citizens and the military commanders in Afghanistan in the final weekend before we evacuated Afghanistan, in which American commanders acknowledge firsthand, irrefutably, and with some colorful, frustrating language that they had abandoned American citizens at the gate at Kabul all the way back to Sunday, 2 days before the departure. So 2 days before, they were stopping taking Americans. And these Americans were waving their card, their passport, saying, "We are American. Let us in." They, according to the interviews and the documents that we reviewed, the military was overruled by the State Department, who would not allow these American citizens to come inside the gates, even after they had cleared through Taliban space and through the Taliban checkpoints near the airport. A remarkable story. There is a quote that I will never forget from this extraordinary set of exchanges. You see the frantic nature of rescuing Americans. You see the enormous frustration of Americans knowing that they were leaving their fellow citizens behind. Yes, we are effing abandoning American citizens. An American colonel, an army colonel, wrote this past Sunday, acknowledging that several American groups who had tried to get to the airport, made it to the airport, made it to the gates that the military controlled, and weren't let in. There is an unbelievable account here. Of course, we had the hints of this yesterday when Michael Yon, the great war correspondent, former Special Forces soldier, told us a little bit about this, but we obtained the actual text messages between the Army and those trying to help these Americans escape. They leave you numb. That's all I can say. They leave you numb. There's nothing more I can say than that.
Finishing out this first hour tonight, a report from Hindus News. And it was a pretty good verbal report that I did pick up. But here we go with parts and bits of this conversation that Biden had with Ghani right before the fall of Kabul.
3 weeks before the fall of Kabul, presidents of United States and Afghanistan spoke for the last time. Reuters reported that Joe Biden and Ashraf Ghani held a phone conversation for 14 minutes on July 23rd. Reuters said both leaders discussed military aid, political strategy, and messaging tactics to repel Taliban. Reuters assessed the transcript of Biden-Ghani conversation, which suggests Biden was banking on Afghan army to stop the Taliban. During the telephonic conversation, Biden said, and I quote, "We will continue to provide close air support if we know what the plan is. You clearly have the best military. You have 300,000 well-armed forces versus 70 to 80,000, and they are clearly capable of fighting well." Unquote. When Biden and Ghani spoke on July 23rd, Taliban were already in control of nearly half of Afghanistan. According to call transcript, Biden had sensed that Taliban were winning the battle of perception. Biden said, and I quote, "I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan. I believe is that things are not going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban. And there is a need. Whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture." Unquote. Biden reportedly advised Ghani to get buy-in from powerful Afghans for a military strategy to stop Taliban. Biden then wanted Ghani to rally prominent political figures and hold a presser to back the new military plan. Biden said, and I quote, "We are going to continue to fight hard, diplomatically, politically, economically, to make sure your government not only survives, but is sustained and grows." Unquote. In response, Ghani reportedly asked Biden to rebalance military solution for peace in Afghanistan. During the call, Ghani also raised Pakistan's support for Taliban offensive in Afghanistan. Ghani said, and I quote, "We need to move with the speed. We are facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists, predominantly Pakistanis, thrown into this." Unquote. Biden reportedly approved Ghani's military plan to focus on urban centers to counter Taliban. Biden said, and I quote, "I'm not a military guy, so I'm not telling you what a plan should precisely look like. You're going to get not only more help, but you're going to get a perception that is going to change." Unquote. Ghani said, and I quote, "Your assurance of support goes a very long way to enable us to really mobilize us in earnest." Unquote. But what followed was Afghan forces' mass surrenders before Taliban in country's provincial centers. On August 15th, Ashraf Ghani fled the country as Taliban captured Kabul without facing any resistance.
So the Afghanistan government got abandoned by the president, and everyone had their hands out over there. Glenn Greenwald has written extensively. He used to be with Intercept, and now he's with Sub Whatever. And he says that for the 20 years we were there, they were misreporting about our progress. They were misleading the Pentagon, the president, and other administrations about the progress we were making in Afghanistan. So anyway, that concludes our program. I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting us and listening to us and trying to get the very best clips that we can to inform you. And this COVID-19 is a health tyranny. Resist it. Get the information out. Get these doctors. The American frontline doctors are speaking the truth. Thank you very, very much, and good night.